For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Russ McKinney. Former South Carolina Governor and U.S. Senator Ernest Fritz Hollings died on Saturday. He was 97 and had been in declining health. A Democrat, he held elective office for over 50 years. Throughout his many years of public service, Fritz Hollings' political compass always pointed in one direction, toward his belief that government could and should be a positive force for improving people's lives and for keeping the country strong.
The fundamental of government is to protect. You've got Social Security to protect you from old age. You've got Medicare to protect your health. You've got clean air, clean water, the Food and Drug Administration to protect the air we breathe, the food we eat, right on down the list. We've got antitrust.
That was from a 2008 interview. Ernest Frederick Fritz Hollings spent his entire life serving his state and nation. He was born in Charleston on New Year's Day in 1922. At age 20, he graduated from the Citadel, then served in Europe as an Army artillery officer during World War II. He was awarded a Bronze Star for valor. After the war, he became a lawyer and started down a political path that he would follow for almost 60 years. After serving in the state house and as lieutenant governor, Hollings was elected governor in 1958 at the young age of 37. He began the state's quest to transform its economy by working to bring new industry and jobs. He focused on public education. The state's technical college system was created to train workers. He was perhaps most proud that the state's finances were stabilized and earned a AAA credit rating on his watch, something that state leaders work to maintain today. But Hollings' term as governor is most remembered for the relatively calm manner in which South Carolina, unlike neighboring states, dealt with integration in the early 1960s. He felt that sooner or later the state would have to accept integration, and that prolonged resistance and court fights would be futile. In his final State of the State address as governor in 1963, as Clemson University was preparing to admit its first black student, Hollings told state lawmakers that the state was running out of courts and should accept integration with dignity and in a lawful manner. Here he is reflecting on that speech during an interview from 1982.
And that's what I was trying to say in that final speech that you mentioned, that we had played the game to the hilt, we'd run the gauntlet, we'd run out of courts, and now is the time for South Carolina to adhere to the Constitution and the law of the land for the good of the state and the good of our nation.
Prior to that speech, in the summer of 1962, Hollings sought the Democratic nomination for a seat in the U.S. Senate, but lost to incumbent Olin D. Johnston. Johnston, however, died in office in 1965, and the following year, Hollings was elected to fill the unexpired portion of Johnston's term. Sworn into office in 1966, he served in the Senate for the next 38 years, and despite those many years of service, for all but two of them, he was the state's junior senator, serving alongside the state's senior senator, Republican Strom Thurmond. Hollings arrived in Washington at a heady time for Democrats. The Great Society was in full swing, and he immediately embraced many of the new progressive social programs. He zeroed in on the problem of poverty and hunger, conducting a series of so-called hunger tours in the late 60s, visiting a number of poverty-stricken areas in the state.
The purpose of the visit here in the Black Bottom area to see firsthand the poverty conditions that we're so concerned with in the Congress. And, you know, it's good to travel all over and see the poverty in Detroit and the poverty in Los Angeles. We've got the same basic causes of unrest.
In 1970, he wrote a book, The Case Against Hunger, and he helped push the expansion of some social safety net programs through Congress. Hollings came to be viewed as a moderate member of the Senate. His maverick style and mixed voting record over the years allowed him to maintain his popularity with voters back home. He favored most civil rights issues, such as extending the Voting Rights Act in 1982, but was conservative on fiscal matters. The growing federal budget deficit of the 1980s and 90s would become an extreme irritant to Hollings and would influence his actions for as long as he remained in office. In 1984, he called for a complete freeze of the federal budget, and he found a national platform to make that case.
Senator Ernest Hollings of South Carolina is tall, white-haired, shoulders back, chin up, a bit of a southern accent, and now in addition to all of that, he is a candidate for president.
I am announcing today my candidacy for the presidency of the United States.
The Democratic field in 84 was a fairly liberal one, and Hollings dropped out of the race after a poor showing in the New Hampshire primary. He continued to wage battles against the budget deficit and the federal debt. In 1985, Congress passed the Graham-Rudman-Hollings Act in an attempt to curtail government spending. But Hollings felt the big problem with the budget wasn't the spending, but with the paying for the massive tax cuts begun in the 1980s and first pushed and signed into law by President Ronald Reagan. Here's Hollings in a 2008 interview.
He started this nonsense that the government is not the solution, the government is the problem. Get rid of the government. Cut the taxes. That's all they're talking about now in the presidential. How is your plan to cut taxes? And I'm only going to cut the taxes on the rich. I'm not on the middle class. So that's all fancy talk. You're increasing the taxes for our children and grandchildren. I can tell you that right now.
As chairman of the Senate Budget and Commerce Committees, Hollings pushed for an activist role for the federal government. Instead of getting rid of government, he would write, "We should make the government we pay for work." He even went so far as to write a book after leaving the Senate entitled Making Government Work. In the 1970s and 80s, Hollings took a strong protectionist position on behalf of the state's textile industry, as thousands of manufacturing jobs left the state for overseas and never returned. By 2004, South Carolina had become a solid Republican state, and at age 82, he decided not to seek re-election to a seventh full term in the Senate. In a 2010 interview, he said it was a good decision.
And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because all my associates and buddies in law and everything else, they're either dead or they're looking for another drink or another golf course.
In 2015, Congress renamed the Hollings Judicial Center in Charleston the Waitis Waring Judicial Center in honor of the federal judge who made several groundbreaking rulings against segregation in the 1940s and 50s. The name change from Hollings to Waring came at the request of Hollings. His body will lie in state at the State House in Columbia on April 15th. His funeral will be the following day in Charleston, the city he adored and called home his entire life. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Russ McKinney.